Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, chapter 9 of Matthew today. But before we jump in, have you ever thought something was impossible until you actually see it? In this age of content creators, we see things that beggar belief and try to reconcile it sometimes afterwards. And in the back of our minds, we ask ourselves, was that real or did someone edit that? Verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man, lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. You have to give it to Jesus. He makes a watertight case. I can say your sins are forgiven, but there's no physical way to show that I have that power. So let me show you by something physically impossible to show you that I can do the impossible. News traveled quickly around town. Hey, the guy doing miracles says he can forgive sins. And that couldn't have meant more to anyone than Matthew, a tax collector who the Pharisees had said was cut off from forgiveness forever. Imagine his shock when Jesus called Matthew hot in the act of betraying Israel at his tax collecting booth, collecting taxes for the Romans. "Follow me," he tells him. And Matthew got up and followed him. When the Pharisees get mad, Jesus says in verse 12, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go, learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is one of my favorite verses, not just because of what it says, but the way Jesus said it. "Go and learn what this means." As if to say, you've been studying the scriptures, but you've missed the point. You know nothing of mercy. Matthew and his friends are sick, and the doctor is in. But Dr. Jesus wasn't just the healer of people's bodies. He was also the healer of souls. Verse 20. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Faith is a big deal in this chapter. And this woman not only needed faith to approach Jesus, she was ceremonially unclean. So pressing through the crowd would have been a big no-no. She was to keep 10 feet away from everyone just like a leper would, because she was seen as filthy. And yet, Jesus looks at her, and to this woman who felt dirty, filthy like the sinner in the beginning of the chapter, filthy like Matthew, says, "Daughter." Verse 22, Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. It's an intimate term, daughter, a tenderness she's not heard in years, and the only time in Scripture Jesus ever uses this term, daughter. She was disgusting to everyone else, but cherished and loved by Jesus. It took great faith to climb through that crowd, risking everything to touch just the corner of Jesus' robe. "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Not faith is some weird mythical superpower. Faith equals trust in Jesus, and the object of her faith was Jesus himself, and he is the power. You can put your faith in something powerless like a self-help book or a tree, and it'll do you no good. But put that faith in Christ, and miracles start to happen. Faith isn't the only condition. Sometimes Jesus' compassion trumps everything else, like when Jesus heals a dead girl in this chapter. Despite everyone laughing, when he says to the noisy crowd and professional mourners, "Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep." He heals two blind men and says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And then goes on to heal a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak until the demon left him. That man didn't have faith any more than the dead girl did. But somehow we see faith is important. But lest we make a fake doctrine out of it and say that faith is everything, these stories keep us grounded. The main point of all of this is that in the presence of faith and without it, Jesus keeps doing the impossible. Verse 33. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. The Pharisees can't believe what they're seeing. They're seeing miracles, but they just can't believe what they're seeing. So it must be the devil. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. Like us watching social media, they wonder, I'm seeing it, but is that an edit? Is it a fake? Verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Like sheep without a shepherd, the people have been left to themselves. The Pharisees weren't helping anyone, just leaving them to the harsh realities of disease and sin, writing people off, locking them up, and blocking them out. But Jesus sees a bountiful harvest of souls to be healed, sheep to be tended to, fruit to be plucked and enjoyed before it died or rotted. Perhaps Jesus could see the multitudes following behind him and in the right light, turning and seeing them ascending and descending the hill. They look like sheaves of grain in the wind. But there were no harvesters for these people, no shepherds, because there was no Savior. But he was here now, and all of that was about to change. You see, Jesus just can't walk away from a situation. No. As we see in this chapter, when Jesus sees the pain and the hurt and the damage that sin causes, he's going to do something about it. Or was he? Join me in Matthew chapter 10 to see how you and I might be a part of the plan as the Lord sends out workers into his harvest field.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.